Spring into action with the biggest fly fishing gear sale of the season. Jackson Hole Fly Company is thrilled to announce their spectacular 25% off anniversary sale. They are inviting all of us to celebrate with them. Whether you're a seasoned angler or just starting out, there's never been a better time to upgrade your equipment and save big. Are you looking for a rugged, waterproof sling pack or backpack to keep your gear dry throughout all the adventures this year? They have you covered. Are you in search of a new carbon fiber landing net? Top quality fly boxes, essential gear like fly lines and leaders? They have all that and more. This is your chance to grab some incredible deals and make the fishing season unforgettable. Don't wait. Dive into the savings today. Head over to jacksonholeflycompany.com and take advantage of this limited time sale. I've got a great fly fishing founders episode for you today as part of the drift boat season. If you've ever wondered if there is something better than that old 35-pound pyramid of lead you've been scraping down the river, I've got a great solution for you today. This is the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show.
Welcome to the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show, where you discover tips, tricks, and tools from the leading names in fly fishing today.
Hey, how's it going today? Thanks for stopping by the Fly Fishing Show. Hey, I want to also announce before we get started, Troy Stang as the winner of the BW Sports Rod Holder. Just join me in thanking Troy. Troy, if you're listening, congrats. And definitely would love to hear how it's going with the rod holder. We're also giving away a brand new tornado anchor as part of this podcast. One lucky person is going to get a tornado anchor and a Wet Fly Swing trucker hat. Head over to wetflyswing.com/giveaway. And just enter your name, and you can be entered right there for the hat. Super easy. And the anchor. So the hat and the anchor. Give a shot, and good luck. Keith Webster shares the story of creating the most unique and much more eco-friendly anchor for your boat. We find out why it stops you better, which companies and shops are buying it right now, and how one guide lost 10 pounds of his old pyramid anchor in the river. That's 10 pounds in the river. So before we get started, let's hear from our sponsors. Sawyer offers a full line of modern and traditional products for oarsmen, canoeists, kayakers, and paddlers from all genres, providing unsurpassed function, performance, and beauty. The Sawyer Artisan Oar is their very popular square top oar. These oars showcase Sawyer's and the artist's ability to create rugged yet highly functional art. Head over to wetflyswing.com/Sawyer to grab your set today. That's Sawyer, S-A-W-Y-E-R, to get started right now. TurtleBox is a new company I've been working with this year. Unlike most other portable speakers out there, the TurtleBox was specifically built with the sportsman in mind. The quality of this speaker is truly unreal. I've talked with the guys at TurtleBox, saw dudes by the way. They love the outdoors and are all avid sportsmen. This is a product I can truly say does not disappoint. Go ahead and check the guys out at turtleboxaudio.com. Yeah, without further ado, here is Keith Webster from tornadoanchors.com. How's it going, Keith?
Good, Dave. How are you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, this is cool. I was just thinking, you know, when I first mentioned this to you, I said, hey, you know, what do you think about doing a podcast? You said, man, I don't know, podcasts on acres. Are we going to have enough to talk about with acres?
Right.
But, you know, this is part of the drift boat series. I can't remember what episode we're on now. I think like we're above 10, below 20. But I mean, we've had a ton of episodes on drift boats and stuff like that. But this is just another product. And your product is unique because it looks totally different than your normal pyramid anchor or really anything. So we're going to get into that mostly today, but I'm not even sure. Do you do some fishing, fly fishing, anything like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm an avid fly fisherman here in the Midwest.
Oh, cool.
Really going after summer smallmouth is kind of our thing out here. But also lucky enough living in the Chicagoland area where we do have some trout water a short drive away. So we've got the driftless area.
Oh, wow.
Wisconsin, and then we've got Western Michigan with all the steelhead and trout and all those rivers. So even though Chicago maybe isn't the best outdoor destination, pretty close. We've got some great fishing.
Yeah. You're in it. Definitely. You're up in that heart. It's for us people that listen to this show. I can see the hot spots. You know, there's people all over the country that listen, but definitely that Midwest you know, all the way over to the East Coast. That northern part is definitely a hot spot. Cool. Well, and you guys have out there, I mean, there's definitely some, you see some drift boats and things like that. Is that pretty, pretty common? Well, yeah. What types of boats are you guys seeing out there?
I mean, because our water is pretty diverse. I mean, we've got a little bit of everything, you know, starting from the smaller stuff, all, you know, from single man fishing kayaks, to a lot of Midwest style rafts, you know, your fly crafts style rafts, as well as, you know, full size drift boats and then even sleds, depending on some of the bigger rivers, in Michigan. So we pretty much have probably, I would say, a really wide, probably maybe even the widest variety of different fishing craft used because our rivers are kind of diverse out here.
Yeah. Okay. And so you pretty much are, your anchor is set for, I mean, your focus is kind of drift boats, rafts, sleds. Are there other people that might use this thing, or is that the focus?
I mean, that's the focus. But what we're finding now, just in our second year here, is that there are probably some more applications. Like, we started off really specifically going after fly fishing river use. So that being, you know, your rafts and your traditional drift boats and sleds. But now we're finding that, you know, the anchor's working really well. And so single man inflatables, even recreational use, pontoon boats in lake settings, even some intercoastal usage on skiffs, has been starting to kind of develop a little bit, which is really interesting.
Maybe we can just start there and talk about, you know, the anchor itself, you know, tornado anchor. It's, you know, maybe just think of somebody who hasn't seen it before, describe what it looks like, what it does, and all that stuff.
Sure. I mean, and maybe I'll take it one step even further back. I mean, so the creation of the anchor was completely out of need or necessity. I mean, so I'm a raft owner and I was on a trip in Western Michigan and literally fought my pyramid style anchor for the whole weekend. And I had a 6-hour drive home by myself. And I literally, I mean, it sounds silly, but after that whole trip, that was the one thing that absolutely bothered me, was that the performance of my anchor was poor. And I drove home that 6 hours with the radio off and just contemplating, how can I make a better anchor? what can I do to enhance the performance of what, literally, you know, up until that point, my experience with anchors was literally just a pyramid style anchor was all I'd ever seen, all I'd ever known. So literally on that drive home, I just pondered and thought. And literally by the time I got into my driveway, I had this idea of an anchor that was more kinetic. It had motion to it. And, you know, a series. And so going that developed into what the tornado anchor is now, which is a series of stacked galvanized steel plates on an eye bolt that each blade independently rotates to allow the corners and the edges of each of those blades to grab as much surface as possible to create drag and to then slow the boat down.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you ever seen it before, I mean, I guess I say it kind of looks like one of those wind chimes that you see hanging from a tree where, you know, when the wind catches those and they kind of spin and rotate and change shape. The tornado anchor does the same thing, but does it in water.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll put a link out in the show notes. So everybody can take a look. There's probably a video out there. Everybody can see it.
Sure.
So the idea is that it, it stops. You sent me one, so I've been using it and it definitely stops, you know, stops really well. I mean, I've been using the pyramid anchor for a long time. I've used I used to use a chain anchor on a raft. Like if you take a set of tire chains and you strap one together, you can make a kind of a similar thing to what you're talking about because it forms to the bed. I mean, why do you think this anchor stops better than say a pyramid anchor?
Well, I mean, simply because it's got more engaged corners and edges than what a traditional 3 or 4 sided pyramid would have. The traditional pyramid anchor uses one leading edge and then the total weight of the anchor to create the drag needed to stop the boat. And for whatever reason, if you lose that edge, that anchor is going to hop or roll or skip until it finds its next point of purchase to be able to try to create that drag again. The tornado anchor has, depending on what the weight is, 16 times more possibility of catching and keeping the edge, that first edge that you find to be able to stop your boat faster.
Gotcha. And what about, What about weight? How do you know, like, what sizes do you have? How would somebody just generally know, you know, if they have a raft, say a little raft, big raft, how would they know what weight anchor to get?
It's that's a huge variable. I mean, it really depends. It depends on the boat or the raft that you have and the waters that you typically float.
Let's take a drift boat. Say somebody had a standard. What's the drift boat you guys see out there in your neck of the woods a lot?
We're Midwest, so we've got a lot of stealth crafts out
there. Yeah, so let's say a stealth craft, like your typical, do they make those probably 16-footers typically?
Yeah, I mean, it's anywhere between like 14 and 15-footers are the two probably standard models.
Uh-huh.
And typically, in most cases, so not only stealth craft, but you know, clacks and hides and adipose, usually fiberglass drift boat, around 14, 15 feet. Most 90% of the time, that's going to be our 34-pound model. That's kind of like the do-it-all size anchor.
Okay.
And most people are familiar with that. Most people with those boats typically are running a 30 or 35-pound pyramid. So we'd have 34 pounds, which is kind of a tweener. It's running between what you know, the two weights that people are comfortable with, and it really is the workhorse. Going back as far as what we offer anchors from as light as 6 pounds, all the way up to 45 pounds standard. So there's a 6, a 10, a 15, an 18, a 25, a 34, and a 45. Those are all standard weights.
Yeah.
We also offer the option, if for whatever reason you need something specific, we have the ability to customize it to a point where if somebody really thinks they need a 40-pound anchor or they really need a 30-pound anchor, we have the ability to build up anchors to meet an exact need if necessary. But I would say that 95% of the time, one of those standard weights is going to do the trick.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's right. And you guys have, where do you think this is, you know, as far as the anchor itself, from where you started the original idea to where it is now, has it evolved a lot? And where do you think it's going the next 5 years from now?
Oh, man, great question. Well, I mean, as far as the design goes, I think we're really happy with it. You know, we've got a great response from the industry, dealing with a lot of guides, a lot of shops, some boat builders, as far as being comfortable with the performance of the anchor and feeling strongly that it's the best performing anchor in the industry. So as far as design goes, I think we're pretty close to being there and we're really comfortable with it. As far as where it can go from today, man, I don't know, the sky's the limit. I mean, it's blown my mind. So we've been doing this for just over a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
And it really started as, I don't even know, a garage project, a personal kind of venture, really not knowing or thinking that many people would be interested in it, to where we are today, which has just been fantastic.
Yeah.
And where could it go from now? I don't know. I guess here, the mission statement of Tornado Anchors is, I mean, humbly, our goal is to turn the Tornado Anchor into the industry standard drift boat and river anchor.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that means, that's kind of our goal.
Yeah, gotcha. And the other anchor, so again, you know, the pyramid anchor is the one I think people think about. Are there other anchors that people use on drift boats? I mean, could you describe those? What are drift boats or rafts? What else? I mentioned the chain, but are there other things people are using?
Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much hit. There's probably three traditional style. I mean, and by far the pyramid, the three and four sided pyramid is by far the most popular or most familiar. The second one would maybe be what we call the animal style anchor, which is kind of a steel cylinder that's got welded knobs.
Yeah, which I've never used one of those, but man, I would imagine those things get stuck pretty easy.
Yeah, they hang up pretty easily. So so that's in the marketplace. And then thirdly, like you mentioned, there's, you know, people who use chain. You know, part of the design process of the anchor too. You know, once we figured out the design and that it was working better than traditional style anchors, we started looking. That wasn't it for us. We wanted to go forward and make sure that the product, the anchor that we were making, was going to be better than just a better performing anchor. And that, so some conservation thoughts went into place. Well, you know, so the next thing, you know, after, you know, I was kind of developing and designing the anchor, the idea of having a 35-pound piece of lead as the tool that you use to stop your boat in a river that typically has regulations and not even more than that, just places that we love, places that we would like to conserve and keep safe. I found it kind of ironic that we're the standard equipment that we're using to go in the water is a big hunk of lead. So
yeah,
the very you know, the thing that we said would make sure that we were going to build an anchor that was going to be completely eco-friendly or inert in the water environment. So, you know, there's no lead in our anchors whatsoever. The whole anchor is made out of galvanized steel. So that's the eye bolt and all the blades that, that are used in the construction of the anchor. And then the other thing too, is there is some habitat preservation as well with the anchor, because if you have an anchor that stops faster than a competitor anchor or a different style anchor, you're disrupting less of the river bottom. So you want to talk about invertebrates or bug life or just the state of the natural river. The faster you can stop your boat, the less damage or manipulation you're doing to the river bottom. So we're trying to make it, you know, the product a win-win-win situation where it's an anchor that works better than what you're used to. It's built out of better materials than what you'll find else in the marketplace, and it'll stop you faster, which equals a safer experience and a better experience for the river that you're floating on as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, that hits hard. The conservation piece should, I mean, that's the super selling point. You know, I mean, if anybody yeah. hears that and doesn't, I mean, just that, that when you just say that, right, it's like lead, wow, a whole thing of lead. I mean, we've had, you know, you talk about lead on split shot and stuff like that and how there's a big movement, you know, obviously sure. to get that out of the river too. I mean, this is just, and you know, your anchor is probably losing little pieces of lead on rock, right? And all over the
yeah.
place.
I hear it all the time. I've got actually a guide that helped me with the development of the anchor. And when I sent him the anchor, I asked him, like, you know, what weight would you like? And he's like, oh, I'll take, you know, 34 pounder. He's like, I'm used to a 35 pounder. And when he got the anchor in the mail, he called me, and the first thing he said is, he's like, why is your anchor so heavy? Hmm. And I said, it weighs 34 pounds. I'm positive.
Yeah.
He's like, there's no way. He's like, it's so much heavier than the anchor that I use. And I said, well, I'm like, how much does your anchor weigh? And he's like, well, it says 35 pounds. I'm like, go weigh it. He weighed the anchor. I believe it was something like 26 pounds. So he had lost 9 pounds of lead in the river over however many years he had been using that, that pyramid style anchor. And it was just became normal to him because that was just what he used. But yeah, like I said, in the river that he guides and makes his living on, he deposited 9 pounds of lead right. into that river, which yeah. was, it was shocking for all of us. I mean, we all knew that that they lost some weight, but I mean, geez, that's a ton.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. So yeah, so that definitely is a big bonus. So let's talk about your boat. So what type of raft? You said you have a raft. What do you got there?
I do. I have Stealthcraft Hooligan XL.
Okay.
Which is kind of a larger style three-man raft.
Three-man. So how, what is that, like 12 feet or something?
14 and a half.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 14. Gosh. Stealthcraft.
Oh. Yeah, it's longer, but it's just narrower at the beam.
Gotcha. So this is, yeah, this is Stealthcraft. So the same company that makes the drift boats also makes rafts.
Correct. Correct.
And have they been doing that for a while?
Yeah, I believe they've been doing the Hooligan for maybe 6 or 7 years.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you guys still throw it. And then on that raft, what's the anchor system set up? How's the rope? I mean, pretty much with the anchor, you got your anchor. What else do you have with that? You know, the go.
I mean, it's pretty much standard, like, you know, what you'd find in a drift boat. So, just working, you got a rope that's integrated into the frame, that's got a cleat stop. You know, yep. at the rower station, then it goes through the frame, goes off of an anchor arm in the back and swings off the back of the transom off of the back frame.
Yeah.
I run a pulley system with it as well. So it doubles up, and that just helps a little bit with ease of retracting the anchor.
Is the pulley system off the, that's off the very back?
It's yeah, like a, it actually sits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sits actually, it's free of the frame. It sits, you know, right above where it's actually attached to the anchor. So it's kind of a pulley swivel system. So you double rope it. So I run we don't have that deep water. So, I mean, I don't run that much rope, maybe 30 feet of rope or so. It works great. You know, and on that raft, you know, more often than not, we're running three guys on that raft, and we're all bigger guys. So it's a pretty loaded down raft. And with that, a 25 pound anchor is what I've started using and what I've only used pretty much all over the country with that raft. and it's plenty enough to stop that boat.
Yeah. And does it stop? I mean, that's the thing, I guess, you know, if you're in some heavier water, I mean, that's always a struggle with any anchor, right? You got to know where to anchor up. But
well, yeah, there's some boatmanship in this too. And I get this question a lot when I'm talking with customers is, just because you can stop doesn't mean that you should stop.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, so knowing the river and where the safe spot is to anchor, I mean, you don't want to be anchoring in the middle of a chute or in a drop off or in a run. You know, you want to have, and again, and I know that situations, you know, can pop up where you might have to do that. But again, as normal operating, you kind of want to get yourself into a back eddy or get yourself to the bank a little bit to be able to anchor if and when you can. Because you can create a pretty dangerous situation. I mean, anchoring arguably could be one of the most dangerous things you're doing on a drift boat through the course of your day, depending on the river that you're on.
Yep. Yep, totally. When you, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, other boats, you mentioned the rafts, drift boats, things like that. I mean, are kayaks, or are you talking to kayaks, kayakers?
We're just starting, you know, I mean, so when we started the company, we just started pretty much with the 25, 34 and 45 pound models. I mean, really catering towards, you know, what we call the traditional standard drift boat raft kind of market. But, pretty quickly we realized that the smaller, the lighter weight models, there was a lot of interest for that as well. So, you know, talking about Watermasters and mm-hmm. you know, all their rafts, they're single and double mad rafts, and then fishing kayaks, that anchoring was an issue for those crafts as well. And so we kind of worked with some of those OEMs, with some customers, and developed a smaller, lighter weight tornado anchor that would be able to accommodate those kind of watercraft.
Perfect. So yeah, and you're, well, how does that look now? So you go out there, as far as the, you know, the outreach and the selling part, how do you know, like when you look at your week or what your month, you know, where are you going? Who are you talking to? How have you dug into that?
I mean, it's been a whirlwind, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, we started a year ago, pretty much targeting and trying to talk to guides throughout the country, figuring that they were the sphere of influence. They were the people that were on the water the most. They were the ones that had the most experience with anchor and anchor usage. And so that was the goal last year, and it was pretty successful. I think currently we're probably over 180 guides in the US that are using the anchor now. And really using them to kind of verify that the anchor did what we said it was going to do. And from that, it's spilled off into a lot of fly shops now. Are carrying the anchor, and as of this spring, really starting to work with some of the OEMs and starting to get the anchor in line on build sheets for boats that they're cranking out now.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this year is going to be the guide year now, and what's the focus going to be the rest of this year?
Yeah, I mean, really what it's going to be support. I mean, it's fly shop and boat OEMs is really what's.
And what's the OEM again?
OEM, you know, so companies like Stealthcraft and Streamtech Boats and Row Drift Boats, Watermaster. These are all companies that we're working with developing and offering anchors directly through them for the boats that they're building.
Yeah, that's right. So somebody buys one of those boats and they get an anchor, or they get an anchor with it, or they can buy it with it.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it seems like, and who are the, you know, the other companies, right? The pyramid. I mean, are there like hundreds of those companies, or is there like one main company that's selling those things?
There's more. I would probably say it's more like hundreds of those companies. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing about lead is that, and the reason why it's probably been used for decades is the ease of manufacturing. So literally anybody can make themselves a pyramid anchor. If you make yourself a pretty crude casting mold and sit in the backyard, and as long as you've got raw lead, you can melt that stuff down and form it however you want. Although I wouldn't recommend doing that. It's not very healthy for you. But because of that, there's a lot of small shops and, you know, in different markets where I think that they were just casting these lead anchors almost kind of as a side project in the back of the shop somewhere. At least that's what I found through the last year or so. And also, a lot of these are imported as well. So you've got some marine companies that will just bring in container loads of of lead anchors from China or wherever it comes from.
Yeah.
And then they get dispersed in the market, in the U.S. market that way.
Man, it seems like it's kind of like a no-brainer. I mean, I'm sure the struggle for you is just, you know, getting the word out. But I mean, there's no question, especially in the, well, I mean, that's the thing, especially in the fly fishing space, there's no question somebody comes up and, you know, probably some people haven't even thought about that much, right? They don't even know, realize they're holding a 30-pound piece of lead, you know.
Back. Yeah, it's awareness.
Yeah.
You know, it's teaching, you know, and again, I've dealt with this a ton over the year too, is that a lot of the times, you know, even guides have been doing this for a lifetime. They consider there's no thought to that part, that component, to the anchor component of their drift boat. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just an anchor.
Yeah.
And it's kind of bringing awareness to, okay, that just an anchor is 30 pounds of lead, and we could offer you something that works better, safer, easier to use.
Right. Yeah.
And really kind of, you know, really kind of walk through all the benefits to potentially choosing our product. And hopefully at the end of the day, when you discuss all that stuff, I hope it's a no brainer.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I mean, there's always some, you know, some selling points. You got to kind of, you know, talk about those a little bit and the struggles for people. I mean, one of them would probably be, you know, obviously the, you know, like price, right? So I'm not even sure.
Price is the number one.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one. Yeah. So how do you guys, what's your strategy there? How do you, because this is, you know, again, if you have a 30 pound lead anchor and your anchor, well, and I guess the other struggle is, we'll get into price in a sec, but the other struggle is not only price, but you're a new company and people are like, well, normally this would be a struggle, right? You're the new company. Is this company going to be around? The thing that I think about where that doesn't even factor in is that I don't even know what my old pyramid anchor, I don't know the company. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I don't know them, why wouldn't I go with a company I know like yourself?
Right. And I mean, and that, I guess, is just going to take some time.
Yeah.
And we're in it for the long haul. And like I've said this to a bunch of companies and customers as well. This is not fly by night. This is something that we really believe in. We think that we can make a difference in the environment side by pushing and trying to sell these anchors, as well as creating a better performing product for our customers as well.
Yeah.
And I realize that. And validity and credibility, that just comes with time and hard work. And we're willing to do it.
Yeah. Is this a side gig for you right now?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's at least how it started off. It's maybe morphed into a little bit more than that. We'll see how this year goes and kind of make some decisions. But it's, the growth has been pretty exponential.
Totally.
Right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it definitely, because I've talked to, you know, I don't know, probably 100, you know, hundreds of people that, you know, in the fly fishing space, a lot of people you talk to, it is, you know, their thing is a side gig because it's, you know, it's not a huge market. The nice thing about you is that I think obviously, you know, yours kind of overlaps not only fly fishing, but you have a broader, just really, I mean, boats in general. You're not going to be selling to a sailboat or anything like that probably, but, or maybe you will, I don't know. Is that something you might, is the market, does it end? You know what I mean? Is there a bigger market that you might not even know about?
Yeah. I mean, my gut is to say, no, I don't think that we're going to have an anchor for a sailboat, but I've learned the lesson to say never. It's just been changing and so dynamic over the last year. I mean,
yeah. If somebody comes to you right now and says, you know, I need 1,000 anchors. What do you tell them?
Absolutely.
You can do it.
I can do it.
You can. So how long would it take you?
We're lucky in the fact, as far as on the manufacturing side of this equation, we could, at least right now, and I'm be careful what I say, that we could probably make anchors faster than we can sell them right now.
Yeah.
At least for the time being.
Yeah.
So we're lucky in that regard, especially with the type of growth that we've experienced over the last couple of months. But yeah, I mean, we can support the industry with this product. I'm pretty comfortable saying that.
Right. Yeah. It's cool to see. It's, you know, obviously I think seems like you're doing it right. I mean, we connected and, you know, we're going to get, I'm not sure how many people are going to right now head over and check out your stuff, but it just seems like, again, you know, we're promoting your thing, but it seems like, it's almost bigger than bigger than the product. I think we talked about this before when we were kind of talking on email, but just the conservation piece. It's like just that. If you even take out, even if your product is equal to the diet, to the, I mean, you're getting the huge benefit to that, to just be like, gosh, of course we need to take lead out of the thing. So I don't know. Just seems like I feel like, you know, anybody would be happy promoting this thing just because of what you got going. Do you see it? I mean, do you see it as more a conservation piece or more of the benefit to the angler?
Personally, I view it as a conservation piece, but realistically, I probably pitch it as a 50-50 to people who are the customers who are interested, because I think that's important. I think the product has to work better than what they're used to.
Yeah.
Right? That's the compelling reason that, you know, and I say that personally because, you know, that's how and why we developed and engineered this anchor, was because of my experience that I was not happy with the performance. As bad as it sounds to say that, it wasn't that I didn't care that I knew I had a lead anchor. I didn't have an option at that time. And that wasn't the prevailing reason why the Tornado came to be. It came because of the performance, a lack of in my pyramid. And then following that up with the fact that we could make it better, you know, material wise than what was in the marketplace. So it's turned into that for me, that, oh my God, you know, we have the potential to be able to remove thousands of pounds of lead out of our ecosystem.
Yep.
That's become massive for me. But for a consumer, I definitely want to let them know that, you know, the anchor is going to work better and it's going to be safer.
Yep. Yep. So, when you got going, obviously you started, the first thought was the, you know, how to make it work better, like you said, but then you came into it along the way. When did you realize the, you know, the non-lead thing was a huge bonus benefit?
Well, I mean, it was pretty quick in the game. You know, as soon as we got the design kind of figured out, it was pretty self-evident that we weren't going to make it out of lead and that we didn't, nor would we ever want to. And then once we realized that, I mean, understanding the scope of that, how beneficial that could really be. I mean, really within the first, you know, the first weeks of the prototype design, we knew that was definitely a huge selling point and a benefit to the product.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool anchor. It's definitely a, I guess, again, Keith explained it. The two big benefits are it works better than your typical anchor, plus it holds better and it's has no lead. So that would be the question, is like, you know, what's more important, having an anchor that has no lead that gets in the river or the anchor that stops you? But you're saying that, you know, guys are equal. They see both.
Yeah, and maybe I'm selfish. I mean, I want it all. I mean, I want the performance. I want the eco-friendliness as well. I mean, here's the opportunity where we could have our cake and eat it too. So let's take advantage of that.
Yep. Perfect. Well, I'm going to keep promoting you guys for sure, because I think this is almost, you know, it's like we said, it's bigger than the product. This is like, let's get 30 pounds of anchor per boat out of the river, out the lead. Let's get that lead out of the river.
Absolutely.
I mean, that could be, you know, again, I hear you, because the conservation stuff is interesting, because it's the most important thing, yet it doesn't sell. Or, you know what I mean? Like if we did a podcast right now and the title was conservation anchor or something like that, or get your, you know what I mean? It wouldn't sell as much as if we just said, you know, here's the best anchor for stopping your boat podcast. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the crazy thing, is that if we did the second one, is that, you know, there would be probably twice as many people, if not more. So the conservation stuff kind of, for some reason, it doesn't sell. And I think part of it is that people are a little bit, you know, they don't want to hear some of the negative stuff, right? Because there is a lot of negative stuff around conservation, as far as, right, we're in a, some right. of these things, we're in a tough place. But so I think that's part of it. So I think what you're doing is smart. You know, let's hit the benefit, that first benefit. And then the second one is just like that drives it home.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I mean, and the other part of this too is popularity, not only of the anchor, but of the sport itself. I mean, the last year that we've all lived through has been tough. But the one thing that's happened is people have gone outside more. And you know, in our case, you know, probably the fly fishing industry hasn't been busier, you know, than ever, you know, in the last, whatever, 10 months or so. So I think we've all experienced the fact that there's just more people on the rivers than we're probably ever used to. And a lot of those people are new. and allows people who are experiencing the river for the first time or buying equipment for the first time. And I think that's even more of a reason to kind of push the conservation side of this, not only for the anchor, but for all the products that they're buying and using for the first time, to be able to handle the influx of people using our resources to make sure that they're doing it safely and leaving as little of a footprint as possible.
Yeah. Perfect, man. Well, I think we're pretty good here. Like we said at the start, it's like, how much can you talk about on anchor? anything else before we start to think about getting out here we want to touch on, you know, with tornado anchors or anything, you know, around the anchor? This is, you know, obviously this is part of the drift boat season series we have going. But yeah, anything you want to add, Keith?
No, I think we've covered pretty much, you know, all the hot topics of the anchor. I appreciate your time and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. What about just quickly, you know, I always love to hear just kind of a resource. So if somebody is maybe just got a boat, they don't have their anchor system and all the stuff, you know, you talked about, where would they go? Is there a place they can go and just get, well, first, like, where could they get your anchor?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can get it right from the website. So you can go to tornadoanchorusa.com. And that way you can learn all about the anchor on the site as well as purchase directly from, as well as also, you know, go into your local fly shop or talk to the boat builder, of the boat you're getting and talk of, you know, that, hey, I heard about the tornado anchor. Chances are they have too. And, you know, you guys can have a pretty confident conversation about how it works with whatever boat that you're potentially getting. And if it's available.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like you said, you're going to your boat, you know, eventually your goal is to be, when somebody goes and they buy it, looking at Stealthcraft or Koffler or whoever it is, it's like, they're going to have your anchor sitting there. It's like, here's your anchor. And again, it's a no brainer. And you're probably going to have, I mean, my guess is, right, just like any business, like any field, you're going to have some other people that come out with something that looks like yours or functions, right? So what's your strategy there when the bigger company comes out and has an equal product?
Well, I mean, luckily, and we spent a lot of time and energy to patent this design. So we've got a full utility patent on the design and the function of the tornado anchor. So in that regard, it's pretty safe from competitors coming in and trying to knock it off. But even as a larger statement, I mean, not that I hope that there's competitors that come out, but I don't mind it. If it's an evolution of a product in a category that maybe hasn't been thought about too much, I mean, I'd love to see the next guy that comes along with an anchor design that can work better than ours, that's safer than ours. I mean, it's product evolution, and I'm not going to be so greedy as to say that I've come up with the best thing ever. I just hope that I've kind of maybe pushed the category a little bit more forward, and maybe someone will take it even further. And that'll be better for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. This is cool, man. This is going to be fun to watch because you're only, like you said, 2 years into this thing, and it's, I think I first heard about it at the, I think the Portland Fly Shop, right? Jason over there. Yeah. I think I saw it. I think he posted on Instagram or something. I was like, wow, that's interesting. And, so it seems like, you know, and that local thing, of course, and especially in fly fishing is huge. It was interesting because I really did a weird episode for us this week. I did, Fort George Brewery is a local, you know, obviously that was the first time I've talked to brewery, but it was really interesting. You know, I had a connection to them and, you know, beer is obviously, you know, something I enjoy, but, he made the connection. We were talking about selling it because I was like, okay, so where do you sell your beers? Right. Are you selling these all over the country, all over the world? And he was like, no, we actually don't. We try not to sell at all. We like to keep it local. We want to bring more people into his local, you know, into the local town of Astoria. Right. Yeah, and that's awesome. That's similar to the fly shop thing. You know, it's very similar where instead of going and buying from Amazon, let's support the local fly shop and go in there. So what he said, you know, was like, go to your local brew pub and ask them to get Fort George on tap. And I mean, I think people right now can do the same, right? They're listening. They can go to their local fly shop or boat company and say, hey, can you check out the tour? I mean, I'm going to help you with this mission, man, because I've been using the, you know, your anchor. I think, like I said, it works just as good, you know, or better than, you know, some of the other anchors, the little pyramid I've been using and that chain anchor. So I'm going to help promote it, man. I'm looking forward to following your journey here.
Well, we very much appreciate it, Dave. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, everyone. Support those fly shops, man. I mean, it's like you said, it's a small industry and we want to keep every one of them going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, we're going to get out of here just in one last one. I always like to check in. I think maybe you've mentioned, but in this next year, you're pretty much just focusing on, I mean, what is your number one focus that if you had to say in the next year you want to accomplish this, what is it?
Again, just really working with the boat manufacturers and really becoming in line with their offerings as well. Again, the goal is to make the Tornado Anchor the standard anchor for drift boats. And I think that, you know, working with the OEMs is going to be a large part of becoming, making that a reality.
Okay.
So you'll see that there, but you also see, you know, you'll see more fly shops starting to carry the anchors. You know, you're going to see us pop around the industry probably more frequently. We're trying to be pretty aggressive about it.
Perfect. Perfect. So it's Tornado Anchor or TornadoAnchorUSA.com, right?
You got it. Yep. That's it.
Yeah. Without the S.
Without the S. Yes. Singular.
Gotcha. All right. Perfect. All right, Keith. Well, thanks again. And I'll keep up with you on social out there. And yeah, we'll connect with you soon and take it from there.
Great, Dave. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
So there you go. If you want to find all of the show notes and all of the links for this episode, head over to wetflyswing.com/224. That's 224. If you get a chance, please support our sponsors. This is the best way that we are supporting the show. We've had some amazing companies on board this year, and they support us. It'd be amazing if you could check over and support them as well. If you have a company in mind you think would be a good fit for this podcast, please send me an email or message me. And I just want to thank you before we get out of here for listening in till the very end. I appreciate your support again and hope to maybe catch you on the river or online.
Thanks for listening to the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show. For notes and links from this episode, visit wetflyswing.com.